Hello and welcome to Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM, live right here in Knoxville, Tennessee on Sunday morning, June 14th, 2020. I'm Larry Rhodes, or Daughter 5, and as usual, we have our co-host Wombat on the phone with us. Hello, Wombat.
Okay, today's verse is going to come from 463 of your books. Please pull it out. Please stand.
No, please stand. No thanks. No.
Please stand for the verse. This is very important. Mm-mm. No?
No.
Well, if you're not going to do it, screw it. There is no God.
We have no doubt. And our guests today are J.W. Kennedy. Hello. Dread Pirate Higgs. And a new guest, Dale, or Novid Gale. Dale, because he's got Novid going. Say hello, Dale.
Hi. How you doing?
Doing good. Hi. And Digital Free Thought Radio Hour is a talk radio show about atheism, free thought, rational thought, humanism, and the sciences. And conversely, we also talk about religion, religious faiths, gods, holy books, and superstition. And if you get the feeling that you're the only non-believer in Knoxville, well, you're just not. There are several atheist, free-thinking, and rationalist groups that exist right here in Knoxville, and we'll be telling you how you can connect with them right after the mid-show break. Also, did you know that there's been a streaming atheist call-in video show broadcasting
yes.
here in Knoxville? Actually, it was a TV show for like 10 years.
Yes.
It's video. You knew about that?
Yeah, it's been around for the character Harley Quinn came around from the Batman the Animated Series, but now this is the first time they gave her her own cartoon, and it's great, very, very good.
Cartoon?
It's like a combination of the Batman the Animated Series plus Venture mm-hmm. Brothers. The comedy is really fast-paced.
Very gritty. Uh-huh.
It is. And comically violent, but also very smartly written. It's very, I highly recommend the show. So Harley Quinn, check it out. It's on DC Animated or something like that.
It may be good. It may be violent, but it's not our show. Our show is called Freethinkers United Coalition.
I never messed that up. Are you sure?
I'm sure.
Okay.
Of Knoxville.
Only every week.
It was on the title. I say it was on TV for 10 years, but now it's streaming online. You can find it by going to YouTube and look for either Free Thought Forum Knoxville or Freethinkers United Coalition of Knoxville. Check it out. If you'd like to interact with us during the show, you can go to Facebook and search for Digital Free Thought Radio Hour and use the messaging function to send us questions and or comments. Wombat, what do you have for us today?
First, I'd like to mention that there's like a haunted roll of toilet paper behind your left shoulder that appears and disappears randomly. It sounds like I'm being random, but it's really Larry.
People can
go through this video. If you look over just your left shoulder, there it is. It popped up again. I don't know what's going on.
I don't believe in haunted toilet paper rolls.
Oh, geez. We're going to have people coming out.
The spirit of TP.
The spirit of TP.
I think it's a roll of paper towels. But
you know, I like to start off the way how we always like to start off when we have a new guest. Mm-hmm. New guest, Novid Dale. Mm-hmm. Who are you? What are you about? Tell us your whole life story in 30 seconds. Go.
Unmute. Go.
known Larry for quite a while. I'm not exactly an atheist. I like to call myself a deist. And I've been that way for quite a while. It seems like it's a comfortable place for me because I appear to be reviled by the theist and the atheist alike.
You're not reviled by the atheist. We know you. Well, we like you.
Most of you are really pretty friendly, yeah. I went on the Atheist Experience once and they said, it's just a bunch of woo and made me feel really bad.
Oh, wow. No, I don't think so.
Beyond being an with you. Beyond deism, because I mean really that is just an absence of something. What's something positive about you? Like give us a contrast of like what can we fill into the Dale bucket? Right now you're literally just text on a screen. What can we fill ourselves in with?
I am at a loss.
May I?
What does he like?
Since I've known
he's
him
humbling,
quite a
I guess.
Hi. Deism's okay. You're cool, man.
He's an artist.
Yeah.
Something else
he's
about
an artist. Oh, okay.
And a writer.
Okay, cool.
And very good logician.
Okay, nice. What do you write? What kind? What's your art panache?
Well, the main thing I was writing for quite a few years and hasn't gotten anywhere is how Jesus did his miracles. Oh, I believe in Jesus. And anyway, how he did his miracles.
As a wandering rabbi, but not a miracle worker?
Well, not real miracles, but right. more like tricks. If you read, when I read the Bible, I thought I was very much into magic at the time. And I thought, well, how would someone do this? And each and every one of Jesus's magic tricks, I think I figured out how he did it. As a matter of fact, it would not be that hard for a contemporary person of their day to accomplish the same thing.
With the same technology that they had back in the Bronze Age?
Exactly.
That's one of the things that I've read his book.
But I mean, go ahead, Valeria, I'm sorry.
I read his book, and he goes into how it not only could have happened and how Jesus could have done it, but also about, he conjectures on the missing, 30 years of his life, 28 years of his life, that he may have gone to the middle, to Eastern, gone to the East, like China, and learned magician's tricks there. And then come back with all that knowledge of how they
do. I've heard of that before, yes.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, actually, it's you'll notice that John the Baptist and Jesus both disappeared for the same period of time. And it's appearing to me that John the Baptist was actually highly educated, whereas someone living growing up in Jesus' town would have been a little bit more on the ignorant side. So have the possibility that they probably switch places with each other, which may be why when Jesus went to his hometown, they tried to kill him. Hello?
We can still hear you.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah, we're...
Well, anyway, it postulates a number of things like that. And Larry, when Larry says it and I hear it, it sounds a little bit, tin hat type of thing, that he went to the East and he studied brickmakers and stuff like that. But that is a possibility. But if you read the Bible and read the little clues that it's in there, which it amazes me that no one else has seen it, you can tell how he cut off the ear and put it back on, and how
he then found the quarter behind it, and then was just like, "Is this your point?"
Found the quarter.
Yeah. And the clues are all right there. Larry, he read, there's 600 and something footnotes in it. So, it says, here's where it says this, and here's where it says that. And it's simple. But a lot of it is that in the reading and retellings of Jesus's story, a lot of it has been exaggerated, and it's not what the Bible says. For example, the Bible says that in three places that the guy got his ear cut off. Never once does it say he put the ear back on, or the guy grew an ear, or anything like that. That's people reading in to what's actually there.
Mm. JW, what do you think about all this?
Well, it's when it comes to the credibility of historical events, it's just, I was just going to ask you, how many of these miracles had extra biblical sources outside of the Gospels?
Mm. And he's saying,
how do we know even those events happened at all? How do we know? How can we discern what's legend from what's event when we only have four documents and they're all as they are translated, they're gradually changed. It's hard to even establish what really happened.
Just to clarify, the reason why I went to JW is because he was actually studying to be a pastor. So it was, I wonder how he reconciled these ideas as he was reading the Bible, now that he's an atheist. But Dale, what do you think? Is there extra biblical sources, sources outside of the Bible that support these miracle claims? Are you there?
Can't hear you, Dale.
Yeah.
Dale, we're having some trouble hearing you.
Yeah, I'll throw it up to Larry while Derek
gets closer to the phone.
Yeah. Larry, what do you think? Are there extra?
Well, I know where he's coming from in the book. He in the beginning of the book, he says, I'm going to take the Bible as it's written, as truth. and I will take all of the information that's in the Bible and use it as facts to debunk the miracles that are in the book. In other words,
that's huge.
He doesn't go to extra biblical information to try to debunk.
All the stuff that he needs to debunk
them are right there in the Bible.
Awesome.
That's what we were saying about the clues that nobody seems to pick up on.
Yeah, and I think that's really good. I think that's a really good approach, especially for people who are believers. Like, they can open up, it's like, oh, he believes the Bible is true, you know, or he's reading it as if it's truth. And then
even if you believe it's true,
reading, and then they find out all this stuff, and they have to wonder, they have to decide what to do with the information.
Yeah.
Dredd, what do you think about that? Is that a good way to figure out if something's true or not?
No, I think it's a little bit lacking.
I think it's kind of rough. I think when you start with that many assumptions, you're already in the cuckoo's nest.
I picked up quite a few things from the Bible that I never saw before, never thought about. It's like what he was saying. Like when Jesus came back and presented himself to the disciples, nobody recognized him. I mean, that right there is a huge clue.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
It was somebody else coming back as him. Or maybe a brother or something.
And you have to think also, the genetic pool wasn't that big back then. So like, we know you. You look like everybody else here.
Also,
what I meant by that is like, it sounds like a book that can meet somebody where they are and take them to a new place.
Right.
You start out the book that way. Mm-hmm. I was just thinking about from the mindset of a believer, not from the mindset of a person who's already trying to,
fight back on,
step out.
I noticed that with a number of books. You know, one I saw on somebody's coffee table recently was titled The Problem of God. And of course, the idea of writing a book that has that as a title is that you've got the solution.
I can see the advantage from an atheist perspective of saying like, hey, this book is at least meeting the believer at their level. What I want from a book is to engage critical thinking, because I think once you engage that, it doesn't matter where they go, they're using the right method to get to conclusions. So even if they get to critical thinking and come to the conclusion that there is a God, I want to know that method that they're using, because they use the right method to get there. So if I was reading a book, it would be great if it was just, listen, I'm not going to make assumptions here. We're going to start from the very basal level. Like, what can we establish is true? What we can't? What's a good way to know it's true? What's a good thing to know that's false?
Right.
All right. Here's this book. It starts with a talking snake. That's an extraordinary claim. Do we have anything to support that? No? Okay, then everything else down.
It's all up especially,
since that's the foundation of Christianity, the first sin, basically, that's handed down from man to man.
Yeah. If chapter one is a dietary advice giving snake, everything else is in question. Everything else is in question.
Right.
You have to.
I completely agree with you. I mean, I'm in that mindset now. Well, all I was saying was I was just thinking about if someone was in the old mindset that I had, what would be a good book that would meet them where they are and actually kind of expand their thinking a little bit at a time.
Sure. Yeah, it could be a good
read. Actually, it doesn't happen overnight. I mean,
conversion
process, it was just years. And so sometimes books that are kind of safe for this bias that we want, but test us a little bit, are just what we need right there in that season. And maybe later on, that book was a part of a process that led us down to being on a digital free talk radio show.
Yeah. Dredd, what do you feel? Do you feel like, If I were to take the devil's advocate side and say, no, you got to stay with logic every single time if you want to try to learn things, versus the empathetic approach of like, hey, I'm willing to make these assumptions to show you that even with this point of view, it can still be valuable. Dredd, what do you think? What's valuable one or the other? What would have worked for you? What might work for the general public?
Well, I think at the end of the day, it is really about coming up with a reliable method to arrive at truth. So dressing things up in order to be empathetic to somebody's current beliefs has, I think, limited utility. You always have to really push the critical thinking agenda in order to have a conversation that's meaningful. Otherwise, it's just fluff.
I do think it can reach like that 10% that wouldn't be reached if you had critical thinking. So like, why not both, right? But I feel like what got me out of the well personally,
one or the other. I'm just saying that it,
yeah,
that could have been a good book for me to read that might have led me down the slow process of walking out. I mean, that I could just see that book being one of those first steps. Because sometimes when you're in that mindset, it's very hard to describe.
Yeah, it is. It is.
When I was a legalist, and it was a mixture of a lot of things. I struggled with PTSD. I had a lot of things that happened in my childhood. I had trust issues. So it went much deeper than just what I decided to believe or what I wanted to believe. And right. So I don't know. That's just, and I'm just processing this thought out loud since
he's speaking his beautiful mind right now.
Yeah.
I would say this, I don't know if I shared this story before, but, the first major crack for me as far as leaving my religion is when I took an ethics class in college, and I learned that morality is not a list of rules that you're given. It's a system that you keep working on that's in the interest of the people that follow that social contract. And you can clearly see that if you just have a list of 10 rules, or even like 316 or whatever many there are in the Bible, that's not enough to keep a society being moral for an extended duration of time, because there's always going to be new things that come out, new permutations, new things you have to decide. As culture evolves, you need to have a system that evolves with it. And you also need to be accountable, not just to the rules or the authoritarian that gave you the rules, but to each other, because that's what makes sure that system works, because we're all benefiting because we're all working with each other. And when I was like, oh, in the class, it was complete cognitive dissonance. In my head, I was like, oh, of course, you just can't give me a list of rules. You need to have a system for morality to work. And then in my head, I was like, oh, no, I let that thought sink in. I didn't want that in because I still want to be a Christian. And now when I look at the Bible, I'm like, what am I supposed to do with this? This doesn't make sense. So I just said, hey, you know what? I'm just not going to read those parts of the Bible. I'll just stick with Proverbs. Proverbs has a lot of good things. And then I eventually got tired of Proverbs because it was just telling me things I already knew. It was just like, the wet water is always wet when it's wet. I'm like, oh gosh, this is lame. This is lame. And so eventually I just stopped reading the Bible, and that's when the momentum built. But I nearly needed that class in ethics to be like, no, morality works like this. It's like, oh, no assumptions, no nothing, no bargaining with myself. I just had to honestly learn something without the context of looking it through my Christian filter for me to be like, ah, reality is not compatible with my religion anymore. I just have to deal with it.
There's a YouTuber named Evidence 3 who put out a series of videos. I highly recommend it. It's Why I'm No Longer a Christian is the name of it.
Excellent video series.
And he said that the thing that really got him questioning was he was at college and he was taking a morals class.
Mm.
And
you're telling my story again, Larry. What are you doing?
Well, it's I just told the story. Oh, okay. Just your story.
All right.
That's why I should have copyrighted it. Yeah. And he said, "Well, I know how to be good, you know." And then finally, the teacher said, "You know, this is to teach you how to make the right decision when the right decision is not clear."
Right.
The moral decision.
Right.
And he said it really opened his eyes, and it made him question the dictates of the Bible, because there's some really bad stuff in there.
I love it. I just feel like, so there is a path for the empathetic approach. I think Dell's book definitely has a place. I also think like that critical thinking approach is so, so good. Because once you have that, everything makes sense. Or not everything, but like you have the tools to make anything a pursuit to try to understand better in like a reasonable way. You may not figure out the answer, but at least you'll know when to say, I don't know. And that's so much better than just being like, well, just God did it. Sure. Or I don't know how the universe was made. Right. Probably a God. Yeah. Not to just poking on you and Dale. Sorry about that. Dale, are you back? Okay. It looks like he's still setting up. That's fair. So I wanted to get into Joey's topic. Joey, what did you want to talk about today?
Well, I just real quick, I think when it comes to deism, I think can take many forms. You know, there's a lot of different theories about what, I mean, sometimes they say aliens in another universe or anything. I mean, I think you can be agnostic and deist, but anyway, that was just my thought on that. But the main thing I was wondering, I'd like to talk about, get y'all's thoughts on, is do atheists have faith in anything?
Ooh, and, whoa. But
we'd have to first define faith. What is an acceptable definition of faith that we have? And
why don't you do us a quick favor and define atheist too, just for new people who might be watching the show?
Oh, atheism is what we like to call at Digital Free Thought Radio, one answer to one question. It is, I do not believe. And in the words of Matt Dillahunty, I do not believe because I have yet to be given good reasons to believe. Hmm. Therefore, I don't believe. It is not, I believe there is no God. It is, I do not believe that gods or gods exist. There is a significant difference between that because when you say, I believe there is no God, you're getting down the road of asserting something is true. So just to real quick.
I have a problem with that, but go ahead.
Yeah.
Just to real quick, like discern, we are not, an atheist should never say, at least I don't think they should never say, I know there is no God. I know and assert it as truth, because then when you say that kind of statement, the burden of proof falls upon you. So,
and now you're doing the work.
What's that?
And now you're doing the work. It's just like, why'd you do that? The work should be on the person who says there is a God. Convince me.
It's simply, we do not believe because we have yet to be seen good reasons to believe. Right. And so faith.
Am I back yet? But,
I hear you. I hear you, Dell. Welcome back.
Your voice is low, but it's there.
Yeah.
The what's low?
Your voice. The volume was a little low. That's much better.
Much better.
Okay, good.
Hey, Boudreaux.
Hey, Boudreaux.
Hello, Boudreaux.
Sorry, I'm late.
Joey, why don't you wrap up real quick?
Faith by definition is believing in something for not any good reason or what seems like good reasons, but it's not, or no, believing something without evidence. So when you
without
say
evidence.
Faith, like a friend tells you, I did such and such. You weren't present for that, so you just believe them.
Are we all more or less on the same page for his definition of faith and atheism?
Belief in the absence. Belief is, or faith is the is belief in the absence of evidence.
Perfect. I like that. That's mine.
And so the question is: do atheists have faith in anything ever?
Yeah, I want to know that. Dredd, why don't you start us off with?
I'd like to sort of disagree with that just a little bit.
I know you're going to be the juiciest person to talk to.
Let's just go around the circle. We're going to start off with Dredd, and we'll get to you.
Yeah, definitely. And I'll go last, or Dell can go whenever you want. But Dredd, why don't you chime in? It's been a while.
I imagine there's plenty of people who identify as atheists who have faith in other, perhaps strange and unevidenced notions about the universe and the world they live
in. That's fair.
So, as JW points out, atheist is one answer to one question. Right. It's not a blanket statement. I mean, if you called yourself a critical thinker, then you were more apt to be a person who doesn't have faith because you rely on evidence to support the convictions you hold.
Nice. Larry, what do you got for us?
I'd just like to continue where Dredd was going. There's a whole section of the world that are atheistic that have plenty of faith. Buddhists, Confucius, Taoists, Shintoists, Jainists don't believe in God. They don't have a God in their religion. So technically, they are atheists, but they still believe in the souls and reincarnation and
Pastafarians.
Yeah, all of that stuff. They believe in that stuff without evidence. Therefore, they're using faith to believe that, but they are also atheists.
Well, let me make it a little more personal then.
Hold on.
Does anybody here have faith?
Would it be cool if we just got Boudreaux's and Dale's opinion before we modify the question? Boudreaux, what do you think?
I think it's a fascinating question because this has come up a lot in summits, and it especially comes up when talking about science and truths and things like that.
Yeah.
I think one of the aspects where I see, well, your example of your friend told you something and you weren't there, I wouldn't call that faith as much trust. I trust them. My evidence for believing what they're saying is based on, history. Well, they said it before. I mean, if they're going to tell me 100 times they've done this and I saw that they did it, the one time they did it, without me being there, I trust them. So is that faith? if it's faith by your definition.
Well,
yeah. And, just interesting, if I may, we have a viewer watching our live stream who makes the statement, I can have faith in my son, for example. And I think that goes to what Boudreaux is saying.
Yeah.
But that is somewhat evidentiary.
True.
The thing about it is, what do you call it when you're equating it? Their equation fallacy. If you look up faith in the dictionary, it has several definitions. And we're talking about religious faith here. We're not just talking about everyday belief in things because of prior experience, which is what that person is saying.
I'd really like to see what Dale has to weigh in on this before we keep going. Dale, what do you think?
Just simply talking about faith, just faith without evidence overall. But yeah, I got you. Go ahead, Dale.
Well, as a deist, I choose to believe that there's some kind of God, and somebody may say an origin. And from the deist point of view, instead of proving that God exists or proving that these religions are correct, I'm of the mind to just prove that they're incorrect. For example, the Odin and Thor and all of that has been knocked down. Egyptian religions have pretty much been knocked down. In other words, it almost seems like we have almost a genetic predisposition to believe in perhaps in something out there. But as a deist, I just choose to believe that there's a God. It's just yours is not the correct one. The deist God is not so much a guy in a beard. It could be just an origin, or it could be that the spark from another dimension or something like that perhaps created our universe. But it leaves me with a sense of wonder to think about it. But when it comes down to other people's religions who try to sell me the snakes and all of that, it's fairly easy to just say this is kind of ridiculous. The only reason you believe this is because it's written in that book. And just like me, they choose to believe what they believe.
Well, I think that's true to some point. There are a lot of people that don't choose it. They were raised from the earliest childhood to believe it and told not to question it. They have to believe it as far as acceptance in their community, their family, and their work a lot of times. But there are people, I'm sure deists particularly, choose to believe it. But most times, belief is not a choice. It's what has been brainwashed into you.
Or what you're convinced of.
Right.
Like, if I'm convinced of it, then I believe it. There's no choice in the matter. It's just, am I convinced or am I not convinced? And I can't choose to be convinced of something. Right. You have to convince me.
I think Dale's saying that he's convinced.
I would love to talk about that more, but we don't have enough time in this show. In fact, we're at the bottom of the half hour.
Already.
Why don't you take us out, Larry?
Okay. This is WOZO Radio, 103.9 LPFM. Right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. We'll be back after this short break.
Spells knocks me on my knees. It didn't hurt, flirt, blood, squirt, stuff, shirt, egg me on a tree. After I count down three rounds in hell, I'll be in good company.
Welcome back. I'm Dotter Five, and this is the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO Radio, 103.9 LPFM, right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. Today's Sunday, June 14th, 2020, and welcome to the second half of the show. Let's talk about the free thought groups that you can join right here in Knoxville. First, there's the Atheist Society of Knoxville, founded in 2002. We're in our 18th year. We have over 1,000 members, and you can find us online at KnoxvilleLakeTheist.org, or you can go directly to Meetup or Google and just look for Knoxville Atheists. It's just that simple. By the way, if you don't live in Knoxville, and you can still go to Meetup and search for an atheist group in your town. If you don't find one, start one. That's right. Also, there's a large free-thinking group in Knoxville and Oak Ridge called the Rationalists of East Tennessee. If you want to find there more information about them, go to rationalist.org and then click on upcoming events. We also have a local chapter of the Freedom From Religion Foundation that you can attend their meetings once a month if you like to. More information, go to rationalist.org. Earlier in the show, we said we talked about the Atheist Call-In TV show. It's called Free Thinkers.
There's an Atheist Call-In TV show.
Yeah, how about that? You never heard of
that? Yeah, we should start telling people about that. That's great.
Yeah, it's called Free Thinkers United Coalition because it unites ASK, RET, and several other free thinking groups here in Knoxville. And we put on an online streaming show. Right now, because of the coronavirus, it's kind of in a lapsed period, but we're planning to get back up and running before too long. They may even decide to use our video for their shows, which will be okay with me. No problem. Or if you're interested in getting involved in the TV or radio show, just come to an Ask Meetup RET meeting and talk to us about it. You can be our next co-host or guest, or you can go to digitalfreethought.com or, the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour Facebook chat and leave us a message about how you'd like to become involved. That's about it. Where are we on our topic there, Wombat?
Oh, hold on. I think we need to find something. I can't. Guys, I can't find it.
Questions?
No. Where the love? Oh, where is the love? Where is the love? The love. The love.
Where is the love?
Hey guys, we have some really great feedback from our last episode.
Oh, did you?
Cool. Yeah, we had over 1,000 views on our last, over 1,300 views on our last podcast. So thank you so much for all the support.
I've been advertising this everywhere on Facebook. So
thank you. Thank you for the self-promotion on our parts, but also for the people who spend time watching it. The analytics on this are really good. Average views are like about 40 minutes through, which is, for as YouTube is concerned, that's extremely crazy. Yeah. Normally you only get like two or four before you're like, what's the next video on this thumbnail? Where'd my afternoon go? Where'd my weekend go? Exactly. So we have a good crowd. This comment is by Comparative Reasoning. He's referring to my talk with the Ask and Wonder representative, or the pastor that was talking to me about atheism, invited me to a show about atheism, but then tried to preach at me at the last second. And I thought his comment was one of the best ones. And he says, I'm glad I would
tell you.
I just want to talk about faith. I'm not preaching.
Job.
yeah. So he said, Comparative Reasoning says, I'm glad I waited for this one. I wanted to be able to fully try to understand all I hear. It sucks, though. You had such a long written understanding on how to do this talk with him, and he simply bailed on the agreement. I understand you being former religious, sir, and yet to defend this guy in one aspect, he's basically doing what he's been taught to do. He's been preached at his entire life. For him, he's doing what you asked, not preaching, but he's still preaching, but in the manner that he's only known of. Like, he's only communicating with me in the manner that he knows of since he's been, you know, born. I could hear him struggling to try to understand your objective. In real time, you explained to him what you needed from him. He agreed to it and then went right back to the same spill. He has no other education in conversing about the topic. That's not your fault or his. That rests on the people that programmed him into this state. Before I go, I just wanted to know, is there a way to inform people of that without feeling offended or them getting defensive? I believe that belief is an emotion, and SE is about critical thinking. Those are direct mortal enemies. What do you think about that? So do you think, like, here's the question, here's the main question I was asking. Do you think, like, emotions and critical thought are incompatible with each other?
Sure.
Larry, I'll throw this out at you first.
I think so. Emotions can, I mean, beliefs can engender a lot of emotional reactions, and that gets in the way of the critical thought. You basically want
That's true.
To defend your beliefs, especially if they're attacked, and you defend them as if they are part of you. So it's self-defense mechanism kicks in, and you get very emotional about that.
JW, what do you got?
Why do we care about critical thinking?
Ooh, very good.
It gets us to the truth. It's one of the
It directly best benefits tools. Us.
But why do you care about the truth? Is there not some
It directly benefits us.
Involved and there's not some hunger deep within you?
That, yeah, it directly benefits us.
Rational knowledge that you just want to know.
It is a selfish concern. It's utterly selfish. It ultimately benefits me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, like, I can see that prospect there. Like, there's nothing magical about the virtue of critical thought. Like, it just
I wasn't saying magical. I was just saying emotional. Emotions aren't magic. I mean, you can prove
true, true, true. Yeah. I would say, like, there's nothing more sentimental. It's more of like that. Yes. My emotion is I want to have the best life possible. Critical thinking appears to be the vehicle to establish that. So yeah, maybe there is that one basic emotion of like self-preservation, self-worth. Yeah. That benefits and goes hand in hand with critical.
And the like Dale said earlier, the desire to be in wonder and awe.
Nah, I don't care about that. Jed Pirate, what do you think?
Again, I wouldn't consider a tool in the critical thinking toolkit.
I would also agree.
You can feel emotionally about things. You can feel wonder and awe and surprise and joy and disgust and all the rest of it. But as far as using those as means by which to get to the truth,
I'm saying, can I have fun with it? I can't have
fun. Yeah, you can. Sure, yeah, go for it. Yeah. Boudreaux, what do you think? Does emotions and critical thought not mix well with each other?
I think
orange juice and pizza of thought experiments?
I think it's interesting because I think each one has an advantage in decision making, and I think you can test this pretty easily. I listened to a podcast recently where they went with the trolley problem, which, you know, you have five people on a track that are about
you don't
to,
have to pull
to
a
die.
Lever.
Right. Well, okay. If you do pull the lever, you can kill one person.
Yeah. Now you killed somebody.
Now you did kill someone.
Yeah. By pulling that lever, you just killed somebody. Like, congrats. Yeah. You didn't have to pull anything. That wasn't your fault.
Right. Right. Okay. But, we can tweak the trolley problem to eliminate that issue where, okay, you don't, pull the lever, but the train is either going to kill all the people you can pull the lever.
Okay. So negative responsibility. I don't have to take anything. I didn't set this up. Arrest that guy. Walked past this and saw. I was like, whoa.
And you know as well as I can, Ty, we can keep doing this until it gets
hands
to the
up. I can't breathe. Don't try to nail something on exactly. me. You set this train thing up. I'm just a black guy standing here. That's screwed up. You can't do that. That's not fair. We live in a different world now. I'm not going to get away with that.
You actually set this up and you went back in time and put it on yourself. It doesn't matter. The point being,
or you can do a Captain Kirk workaround and you just cheat the program.
Sure.
But the point is, let's say it's five people versus one, and normal utilitarians would say, okay, pull the lever, kill the one person. That's rational. That's critical thinking. That's logic. What if it's your loved one on the other side? It's one person you love and five people you don't know. Now emotion kicks in, and now it's like, well, now what do I do?
Yeah.
And it's like, logically, you know what you should do, but emotionally, you can't. And
yeah. And they carry a lot of different directions on that trolley problem. And like they originally set it up so that it's the switch is in the position of going to five people. So you literally have to throw it. They don't set it up where it's going to one person and all you have to do is stand there and look at it. Interesting. There's also another one where you're on a bridge and you're with a person.
Push a fat guy and
you have to push a person off the bridge to not
you say fat train. Guy?
Yeah. Well, I set it up as a fat guy, but I'm just saying you have to, if you push the guy in front of the train, it would derail.
Oh, wow.
It would switch it to another track. And people, a lot of people would back off at that point, saying, I'm not pushing anybody on no tracks. Even though before they said that they pulled the lever. There are lots of different gradients to this trolley problem.
I would love to,
if I can, yeah, if I can interject, that. Isn't this sort of the same thing that a general does all the time at war? I'm going to send these guys over there. They're going to die. I know it. It's my fault or it's my responsibility, but this other battalion is going to live.
Mm-hmm. I would think that they would have sent the general through the trolley problem before they made him a general. So he could have seen where he stood on it.
He's coming from.
Yeah.
Dale, I'm interested in what's your idea of the compatibility of emotions and critical thought. It sounded like you had something you wanted to say earlier.
It just really irritates me if I'm talking to someone and the conversation goes on and goes on and goes on. Then finally they say, well, I know it in my heart. So that's obviously some kind of emotional. And then you probably had no business being in the conversation with them in the first place.
Well, it's an escape hatch, right?
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I would say for me, there is like the field of triage, which is like if you agree to the Hippocratic Oath, which is I'm trying to help people as a doctor and I'll do whatever I can to help people. But now I'm in a situation where I don't have enough resources to help as many people as I can. I have to decide who gets help and who I can't help, basically. And there's actual courses that dictate the standards for triage. Like, do I help the person that can go on to do surgery on other people, or do I help this like a school child, you know, like who still needs to be, you know, prenatal care or whatever? Mm-hmm. Like, you have to like understand that doctors have hard rules and limits that they have to follow, where they need to, at a certain point, work in Congress with other people to come out with an informed, empathetic approach that has logical steps, like
decision tree.
Right. That way, when they're in that moment, they're not like, oh my gosh, I need to save my wife and not this school bus full of kids. What does my training tell me to do?
Right.
Despite the fact that, so there is
as a first responder, the same thing applies, you know, when you come upon a scene, it's about, you know, saving the most likely to survive.
Right.
You don't start doing CPR on a guy that's cut in half and attend to the person who's got a little owie on his leg or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah. In Canada, they say owies. That means injuries. I would say this. I value emotional thinking, but not as a decision-making process.
Right.
I feel like critical thought is my go-to as far as like critically assessing what I should do, but I can always inform my conclusions with some empathy after the fact. But I would really like to rely mostly on my critical thought, because that's what ultimately not only just benefits me, but everyone else around me. And my my emotions tend to betray me, even in the best case.
This may be a stretch, but you don't want to trust your critical thought when you put your hand on a metal surface to decide if it's hot or not.
Yeah.
Right? You want to go with instinct there.
I love it.
That's more emotional, right? So,
right.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
and
but that was informed by some kind of prior evidence.
True. Yeah. Yeah.
We just don't wake up. A baby isn't born knowing that the stove is hot.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And my point was that the pursuit of truth doesn't have to be completely emotionless.
No, of course not.
That's just what I was saying.
No.
But yeah, okay.
It's more of like, if I'm starving on a beach and I'm underneath a banana tree, I could eat worms. Or I could just climb up the tree and get the bananas. Mm-hmm. So there's standards of nutrition that I can go for.
Yeah.
And do I dig down for emotions, or do I climb up and get some critical thought? I could do both, but hopefully, you know, the better stuff is worth the effort.
I like how emotions are worms in this example.
They are, man. Hey, you get protein, you get some protein.
I like that comparison because critical thinking isn't the natural state of humans, right?
Exactly.
I mean, if you take say Daniel Kahneman, you know, for some of the research he's done about thinking fast and slow, that critical thinking is something that we work at. It's not something that we just wake up one morning and go, oh, here's a great methodology for discerning what is true and what isn't.
It's true. It's very true. And it's not like a bike either. If you don't do it in a while, you can totally fall off and never know how to get back on again,
right.
Which is why it's important to always think critically.
Exercise it.
Dale, what do you think? You want to wrap up the question from Comparative Reason? Do you have any final words?
I had one thought. One of our Colorado governors was doing something, made a comment that was something kind of brave. He was pointing out that the old people deserve, it's the responsibility of the old people to die. And the context he was putting that in was...
Object.
What?
I object.
But the context he was putting it in was the fact that like 90% of a person's health care is spent in the last 2 years of their life.
Wow.
Now, I believe that is a really cold way of looking at it. Anybody in the nursing home with this COVID virus going on would probably not have the same point of view. But I never figured out why throwing the fat man on the tracks was going to stop the train. Blood is slippery.
No, it just
it's greasing the tracks.
It would be the same as throwing the switch. It would just switch them over to another track, not derail it.
Yeah.
But Dale's comment just reminds me of Charlton Heston and Ever G. Robinson in Soylent Green.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite movies.
Dale, I had a quick question. I'm genuinely interested in knowing the answer. You had mentioned that it feels like a waste of time to talk to someone who's not exercising critical thought, because at the end they just say, I know it in my heart, right? And yes. I'm wondering, like, is there a distinction between that conversation where someone ends it with, I know it in my heart, versus someone who says, well, I just choose to believe it because it leaves me with a sense of wonder?
Well, a person... if you know it in your heart, it doesn't sound like you have that much choice over it. But to have a choice, I choose to believe this, I believe is a little bit more, not if not rational, more conscious.
Could someone consciously know something in their heart and has it more or less the same impact?
Oh, I don't know.
Could you be experiencing the same thing, just wording it differently?
JW, I'm just going to leave this on this thought. If we don't know, why claim that there was a God at all? And you don't have to come up with the answer right now, but
he's claiming that there's a God. He's saying
I think
that
deists naturally claim
he believes there's a God.
No. Why then? Why not? If the answer is I don't know, why have the belief in the first place? But we don't have to answer that now. We got a long show. We got to wrap up. We only have 8 minutes left. I'm sorry. We can come back to this definitely. I'd highly recommend that you come back. Dread Pirate, we got 8 minutes left in the show. Do you want to tell me where we can find your stuff at? What's going on?
Well, right now, this is our first streaming attempt. So it's actually on YouTube on my channel, Mind Pirate, MindPyrate. And yeah, so I'll schedule this again for next week.
Oh, very fancy.
Next Sunday at 8 a.m. And we'll see what kind of audience we get. We do have one person watching.
Hey, so that's pretty cool. And a commenter too. What was the name of the commenter, by the way?
The name of the commenter was Datus Trading Room.
Very nice. Very nice. And we got a lot of feedback on last week's episode. Thank you so much for everyone commenting. JW, where can we find your stuff at? What are you doing? What's going on? And why are you so in the dark?
Thanks right for the subscription.
Oh, I work nights. And so I've put something up on my window to make it like dark when I come home, just to kind of get me ready for sleep. But I hope to have a new camera here pretty soon and some lighting. So I apologize.
You're lucky you're a white guy. Yeah, this would have been, you would have been a Cheshire's cat, basically.
Ghost figure.
So you can, no content yet. Hopefully content, at least hopefully by the fall. JW Kennedy for my stand-up comedy, my music. Speak Your Beautiful Mind for my street epistemology. I'm going to be using the same methods as Tyrone does with his channel with Let's Chat. You can find me on Twitter at JWK Hates the News, and also at Speak at Your Beautiful. Actually, speak I don't know that mind. One off the top of my head.
Speak but Your Beautiful
speak
Mind.
Your Beautiful Mind on Twitter. But I don't know the actual tag. So, Speak Your Beautiful Mind on YouTube.
So. Cool. Boudreaux, everybody loves you. Mm-hmm. What's going on? How are you?
I keep dropping the ball, but I blame Chad. I get
comments on YouTube with like, isn't that the guy who wants to talk about free will? Right. And I'm like, those are my two popular most videos.
Since I don't have anything to share of how you can follow me, I will say, I think I'm told everyone needs to post a picture of Obama on Trump's Twitter feed because it's his birthday. Trump's birthday. Hopefully Trump's last birthday in the White House. So put a picture of Obama on there and make his day.
There are no calls to action on this radio show. By him saying last birthday, Boudreaux was totally not saying anything. You know,
I was not. No. I apologize. Right. I forgot.
Hey, Dale.
I just wanted to mention, Ty, just before.
Sure.
Please, by all means, Larry was good enough just to subscribe to Mind Pirate. Once I get up to 100, then I can rename the channel to, I can personalize the channel. So by all means, please subscribe.
I'm going to put that in the comments. Please subscribe to Gary's channel when you have the opportunity to. It's actually really good content and some of the most polite but also introspective forms of SE possible. Not only that, but like from the very beginning to where he's at right now, you get to see the full production timeline of like improved quality, better audio, better video. And it might make you more accepting of like wherever you might be starting off with as far as putting out.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Dale, thank you so much for joining the show. Do you have any like final comments?
You're welcome anytime.
Absolutely.
No, I have no comment. I really, really hate you mentioning Trump and because he doesn't deserve mentioning more than anything else. And
I just said it's his birthday. Derision.
Fact.
Yeah. Well,
had a good time.
Thank you. Larry. Oh, so wait, I'm sorry. For me, I'm Let's Chat. If you're seeing this, you're probably already on my channel. But every week we come together and have these talks, and it's an open talk for anybody. So if you're interested, reach out to me and we can see if we can get your comments on the show. Likewise, you can post videos or you can post comments here or on Reddit. Just say, hey, I like this. This is pretty cool. And, you know, hey, if we got time, we'll give you guys a shout out. That's it for me. I'll see you guys next week. Larry, what do you got for us?
Well, be sure to visit the digitalfreethought.com website and blog. Click on the blog button to go and see our radio show archives, the atheist songs that we have listed in there, and many articles on the subject of atheism. You can also go to our Facebook page, Digital Free Thought Radio Hour Facebook, and put some comments in the chat if you'd like. If you have any questions for the show, you can also email them to us at askanatheist@knoxvilleatheist.org, and we'll answer them on future shows.
Our podcasts are also available on iTunes, Stitcher, Luminary, Podcast.com, et cetera, iHeart as well.
iHeart, wow, that's weird.
iHeart.
Mm-hmm. That's weird.
And I'm going to go ahead and mention everybody at the end, all I guess. Dread Pirate Higgs, wave and say bye. And J.W. Kennedy. Boudreaux.
Boudreaux, the free will.
Dale.
Wave and say goodbye.
Wave and say goodbye.
I am waving.
Okay. Beautiful.
And good to see you. Happy to have you on the show. Everybody's going to somebody else's hell. The time to worry about it is when they prove that heavens and hells and souls are real. Until then, don't sweat it. Enjoy your life. We'll see you next week, 7 o'clock on WOZO Radio right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. Say bye.
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 Bye-bye.